now more than ever, people need to go within and plug into that cellular memory, plug into divine source, detach as much as possible from the matrix.
Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, our very special guest is Sarita Antaria. Sarita Antaria is an internationally renowned psychic. Sarita is best known as an ET communicator who also speaks light language. Clairvoyant from a young age, Sarita has long been aware of other dimensional realities and is also an ET UFO experiencer. Having helped hundreds of people around the world connect with their ETs and interdimensional guides that assist them on their mission here on Earth, this shines light, clarity, and brings a sense of comfort, confirmation, and a renewed enthusiasm on their soul path. Having studied kinesiology, hypnotherapy, and shamanic studies, Sarita has an advanced diploma in health sciences. Sarita currently lives in Melbourne, Australia, working as an author, spiritual mentor, teacher, and YouTube channel host. So without any further ado, Sarita Antaria, welcome to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
Thanks so much for having me, James. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
The pleasure is all ours, Sarita. For the benefit of our listeners, tell us a bit about yourself and how you came into an awareness of who you are and understanding and awareness of the greater reality around us.
Yeah, so for me, I guess that awareness of different realities was really from a young age. Probably age 4 is about the earliest memories that I can go back to, apart from like looking into, you know, other multidimensional or past lives. But yeah, I always sort of had more of a clairvoyant ability and clairsentient ability. So, you know, that inner feeling or that inner knowing. And I remember, you know, pondering on life's bigger questions about the universe and wanting to understand and work out how everything works. And it's funny, I remember asking my parents different questions about different things, but I could never get enough depth or, you know, clarity on, you know, certain questions. So I'd always kind of set intention and explore more in like a meditative universal sense from a young age. And also, you know, experienced a lot of different dimensional beings appearing in my room when I was quite young too. So every night calling my parents into my room to come and look at, you know, things that were in my room. And of course they'd come in and not have that perceptional awareness into those other realities. So, you know, they would say there's nothing there. And it was probably about age 17 or 18 that I would still go into their room most nights and say there's something in my room. Sometimes I would see like portals open up in my room. I'd have different geometries that would be in the room, different beings, different sort of like astral type experiences, some ETs, some spirits, spirit guides. You used to be out of an experience growing up, but you know, for me, that kind of thing is actually quite normal. I think I would feel quite different in the world if I didn't have things going on like that.
Well, you'd be having experiences and you'd be seeing, you know, portals open up. Do you ever sense a feeling about communication? Was there an effort on the part of what intelligence or intelligence they were that you tried to communicate?
Yeah, so looking into regression as well. So I had a regression with Mary Rodwell a couple of times now. You know, I was able to look at it more in depth and really go back to those young ages and see what's happening. So a lot of those interactions were on an ET level. Some of them were on education. So a lot of ET experience all about, you know, when we go to sleep at night, that we often go travel and do almost at night school or, you know, go on board raft and have further studies or further education. So that's something that I used to experience and feel into when I was younger. I was feeling like I was, you know, learning, studying, downloading. So sometimes a lot of experiences will have unusual sleeping patterns. So when I was younger, there was always not much to go to sleep at night because I knew that was, you know, when I was not in that waking state, I didn't have as much control over, you know, what was going to happen. I always knew when an experience was going to take place. The same as now, sometimes there'll be, you know, sort of a different feeling as you're going off to sleep. You'll know that you're going to have contact. Not always, but some nights you'll get, it's like a difference in the air or the atmosphere around you. And sometimes that's when other people are there. Sometimes, you know, I had a friend that I was traveling with just at the start of the year, and I woke him up in the middle of the night because there was something in the room in which he happened to see as well. So, you know, it's good having confirmation, you know, having friends and family that can see some things. Not that there's really too much family, but I do have some friends that are quite like family that will see things as well.
Now, when you mentioned that you have a clairaudient ability and a clairvoyant ability, can you give our listeners an example of what you mean by that and how it applies? I mean, what some psychics and intuitives tell me is they've managed to assimilate these abilities to the point where they use it in their day-to-day life. They use it to like find a parking space or even relatively mundane things after a while they begin to figure it out.
So this is like where my passion lies, and with what I teach in workshops and also in my book, is that I'm fascinated by the psychic senses. So for me, what I think that like what we're capable of, and perhaps like what, you know, science hasn't discovered about our brain power yet, is that there is so many latent abilities that humans are born with that are not perhaps switched on, or we're only using, you know, some people say, 10% of our brain power. And I think, you know, when we tap in and we can utilize these psychic skills, I really feel like we're using other aspects of our brains. And looking at some psychics and the studies they've done with measuring, you know, EEG waves, the helmets that you have hooked up with all the little electrodes, when they're performing readings, what they've actually found is that some of these psychics will go into such a zen, almost monk-like state. The brain waves will, you know, become very calm, very relaxed. And I think when we can get into these states, we can kind of go between realities, and we can kind of, you know, reach out interdimensionally. And to me, it feels like I'm grabbing information sometimes interdimensionally, or I'm connecting with beings that are in an interdimensional space, and I'm able to just kind of fine tune and listen in. It's as though, each of the psychic senses builds upon a physical sense. So for me, when I'm looking at something clairvoyantly, which means like clear seeing, I'm looking at something not necessarily just with my eyes, like looking at auras, which you can see physically around people. You'll see like a soft haze or a glow, or sometimes something that's more illuminated, depending on like that person's energy field. But also there's another side to the clairvoyant seeing. It's like seeing with your third eye as well. So there's the three different visual aspects. There's seeing the aura, the energy field. There's the normal human perception of seeing in the physical 3D reality. And then we've got the inner seeing, which is connected more with the pineal gland. And so looking into the other senses like clairaudience, it's really about clear hearing, but we're hearing more on a spiritual level or a spiritual sense. So sometimes that will be almost like a voice projected, or sometimes people hear it as a voice externally. You know, if it's actual like spirits that have passed on, sometimes that's when you hear it externally. Where if it's more guides, to me it's almost like I feel like I'm leaning into that dimension and they're just relaying information to me. So what level we want to get to when working with the psychic senses is to get to a point of synesthesia, or like a blending of the senses where it becomes one sense organ. So it's not that we're just utilizing like one sense, because we all individually will have senses that are stronger than the other. So someone might be more clairvoyant or more clairaudient, but essentially we want to get to the point in a development level of where we're using all of them as one sense organ. So we're receiving multiple streams of information.
What some intuitives and psychics have describe is before, and I don't know if this applies to you, I'd like your thoughts on it. First coming to grips with their, say, clairaudient abilities, sometimes they get kind of an overload or a swamping sensation of all this sensory input in a clairaudient sense. And how would one, if they're going through that, how would they be able to filter out all the extraneous clutter, let's say, to get to the signal?
Yeah, so I think when it comes to psychic senses, it's very much like tuning into a radio station. So we have to have clear intent about what we're wanting to connect with. We also have to check the integrity of what we're connecting with as well. Yes. And I think that's the most important aspect, is that, you know, some people will tune into information or perhaps not really care about the information they're receiving. It's that they're just excited about, you know, receiving information or, you know, connecting with beings in different realms, and they don't really care so much about like what the intention might be with that being. We always want to make sure that the beings we're working with and the guides that we're listening to and working with, that they have, you know, an unconditional love for us, and that they're there for our best and highest good, because anything that's not of that is more either self-serving, or they're there to kind of like buff the ego up. And that's usually also to then drain on a human level. So I think that's probably, you know, one of the main things with this is just making sure that when you are tuning in to make sure that it's coming from a loving space. I think that it's something that, you know, for me as a child, I always wished that I had a teacher or a guide or, you know, some kind of like Merlin figure or master that would appear to me and just, you know, be the teacher and give me all of those answers. It wasn't until I was about 15 that I started to go to a kinesiologist that was working with me for dyslexia. And he actually said to my parents, I was telling him about some of the experiences, and my mum would say, you know, she doesn't sleep at night. We've never been able to get her to go to sleep. And then she's like up first thing in the morning. And this was mainly because I didn't want to go to sleep because I was experiencing so much at nighttime, because especially between the hours of like midnight till three, it's kind of like psychic hour. Our consciousness becomes more receptive to this kind of information, and their energies are sometimes referred to as like the witching hour. And so people consciously will have like an expansion, or they're easier to communicate to. So sometimes this is where spirit comes in, or, you know, ET experiences and out of body experiences tend to happen around this hour. But yeah, going back to that, you'll find I jump all over the place.
Oh, that's quite all right. That's quite all right.
It's usually I'm receiving like multiple streams of information when I'm working with people, you know, in a in like an aura drawing session as well. That allows me to kind of jump from one thing to the next. But yeah, it was probably about age 15 that I found out my kinesiologist had said to my parents, look, she's really psychic. She probably should go and do some training and learn how to, you know, work with it so that those abilities can develop even further. And even though like my mum was intrigued by it, and she agreed with it, she said, I want her to finish school first, so to finish year 12. And then I actually went on and studied kinesiology after, because I started to get a passion for working with people and, you know, wanting to help people. And so, yeah, never really did have that kind of like Merlin figure master fully materialized, but always had like a perception of guides on a spirit level that were there. But I did have some really beautiful teachers that, you know, understood what was happening to me and really encouraged me. And one beautiful teacher that I had for kinesiology, she would always say to me, you know, if you see anything in the room, you know, tell me. Like, we, you know, she would always encourage me. And I guess it was, you know, like we can learn from this as well. You know, like with speaking out against, you know, different things that we see in the room, and that, you know, others are able to learn, or it can be confirmation for other things that are going on too. So I was blessed to have such a beautiful teacher in that way.
What is kinesiology? Could you describe that in a nutshell?
Yeah, so I always describe it more as a combination, or the basis of it being in Chinese medicine, the philosophy, and chiropractic. So it's almost like a marriage of those two modalities, and then a philosophy and physical practice is kind of born out of that.
And how were you and how were your kinesiology instructors able to utilize kinesiology to help you refine and hone your psychic abilities?
Yeah, so I was really blessed in that. So for me, kinesiology is it's also a biofeedback response. So it's asking the body certain questions, and we're using a muscle, an indicator muscle, to gain a response. So you're working with a locking and unlocking muscle when you're asking the body certain questions. So you're also working at balancing the body on a mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual level. You can also do like nutritional testing, work with like brain, and work with like physical, you know, body elements that are going on as well. So my teachers are really lovely in the sense of I would quite often get answers come to me before asking a client's body certain questions. So I would feel my body become like an indicator change. So instead of waiting for an arm to unlock to get a muscle response to a question that we were asking the body, I would feel it within myself, or I would get like a clear audible answer to what was happening. And my teachers were really beautiful encouraging that. So they let me work without the muscle testing, and then I only had to use the muscle testing more, you know, in exams, just to show that I understood like the mechanics of it.
When the impressions would come through to you, let's say as a young girl, 15 years old thereabouts, mm-hmm. and I imagine there was some adjustment period, because at some point you decided, this is who I am, I'm not going to change for everyone else. maybe I might not tell them all the stuff that's going on because they might not understand, but I'm still going to be me. And as time goes on and you began to get this training, when did you realize that, you know, there could be a healing aspect to it? Because I imagine you get in someone's energy field and sometimes you just start getting impressions whether that person wants guidance or help or not.
Yeah. So it was probably around primary school age that I really, you know, I had memories of past lives working as a healer, working with herbs and poultices and, you know, all different types of alchemical, you know, drops and potions and things like that. So always as a young kid, I would play, you know, with my friends making potions and different things, you know, in primary school. So for me, that was something that I always felt and knew that was within me and that I'd done before. So it felt very natural when I did find natural medicine and kinesiology. So I guess it just felt like I was finding my, or part of my soul's work and part of, you know, that stream of helping people. And I think there's so many different expressions of how we can help people, but I was always one that was quite sure within myself. So even at a young age, I was quite, or a very young age, quite shy because we quite often take on our parents', you know, demeanor. So my mum was quite shy. And then I think it was probably about age 10, I started doing some drama club, you know, with school and out of school, and, you know, that confidence all of a sudden just kicked in. And I think that's when like a reassurance in who I was as a person kicked in. And I definitely think that when I went into high school, they just, I've always had a surety like within myself and never felt that I've had to try and fit to live within anyone else's reality or tried to, you know, have to fit into a mold to please someone else. I think I've always felt, you know, pretty happy within myself in that way.
That's important. So Rita, so many that are gifted in this fashion, you know, they just feel out of sorts. They feel shame-based almost. They feel that they don't fit in because the norms for everyone else is, well, the people, I guess, somewhat abnormal. And you raised some interesting points also that I wanted to bring up with you. The key facet of our past lives and how they play a role in who we are, because we are the sum of all of our parts, past, present, parallel incarnations. And you mentioned as a young girl, you had memories of yourself as a healer, as an herbalist. Can you take us through that process? Did they come in fragmentary, you know, flashbacks and dreams, or did they come in more visionary experiences? How did that play itself out?
A whole different, like, myriad of different things. So sometimes you would, like, I would receive, I think it was more, it's come in different stages. So definitely, like, when I was younger, there was a lot more memories of, like, a medieval type times. There's been, like, off-world memories as well. Some of them being, like, more Native American. So I remember being initiated, like, a medicine woman. I remember a lifetime like where my grandfather had died and I was being initiated and I could feel and smell and see myself inside this teepee and felt the energy and like the memory of what it was like leading up to that initiation and like what kind of, not pressure, but like what kind of huge deal it was to be taking that on and to be responsible for like that village or that tribe. So, yeah, they have come in different fragments. Sometimes it's almost like watching a movie. So it's like this reality sometimes will go on to pause and you're seeing purely like from a third eye perspective and things are kind of replaying.
And you saw glimpses of yourself in some of these past lives and it has a direct parallel with what you're doing now. You talked about the healing aspect. Could you tell us a bit, you alluded to a moment ago about some of the off-world incarnations. I'd really like to hear whatever you're comfortable sharing.
And they're definitely some of my favorite. And I think also the other thing, so like as we talk, sometimes I'll get, you know, different information from my guides and from, you know, beings that also want to bring information through like while we're talking, especially when we're doing shows. So one of the things that they also want to express is that, you know, it's really important for those of us that have always felt different or have always known that, you know, we've come from different places or that we have a certain soul mission. It's really important that we don't have to really try and fit to live within this 3D earth reality. We're really here to anchor and bring a new earth reality here. So we're here to lift the consciousness and the vibration of the earth. And we're here to create change. We're here to stir things up a little bit. So sometimes that will also be creating controversy. But yeah, it's really important to speak your heart, to speak your truth. And I've got beautiful friends that that are doing that, that speak light language. You know, some of them are healers, some of them authors. There's a whole different myriad of people that are, you know, impacting change upon the world. And it's just so beautiful to see them shine their light. And it's also, it's a lot different to what it was 10 years ago. I know when I was a lot younger, I'm 38 now. I'll be 40 next year. And I know that when I was, you know, kindergarten age, my guides were very much, don't talk to anyone about this stuff. You know, you'll be locked up in a crazy home. And I didn't even know what that meant as a child. I just knew that it wasn't safe to be able to talk about it. And it was probably around when I went to high school that I started to, maybe towards the end of high school, just start to like talk about little things like, you know, auras and colors in auras. And also what that ties into as well is we're talking about past lives. So quite often when I'm working with clients doing an aura drawing, which I also combine the tarot cards and a clairvoyant reading, if I see like an aqua or turquoise color come up in someone's aura, depending on like where the placement of it is in the aura, that will quite often denote that there's some kind of past life ability, talent or pattern that's surfacing at that point in time for the person who I'm doing the reading for. So we'll tune in, look into the placement of where it is, depending on where it is in the body, like if it's closer to the body, near a mental or emotional level, say like around the head, it's some kind of like information that is trying to relay that's connected like with the mental or emotional body. So yeah, quite often we'll kind of like tap into the energy of that. And sometimes I'll be shown like past lives and, you know, different things that have happened to that person in the past life. And it could be in terms of like a relationship, like repeating patterns and showing them how they can break a certain pattern so they don't have to live through that same karmic event. Or sometimes it will be, you know, utilizing a gift that they've always had a passion for, but they've not known how to do it. It might encourage that confidence for them to go and study, you know, writing or natural medicine, or to, you know, learn more about painting. It really is unique and tailored to each individual. And I think the more that we can tap into these unique soul abilities, the easier it is for us to be here on earth and to be able to, you know, partake in our soul mission and to be able to help as many people as we can in this lifetime. Because I really feel that that's why we're here, is to make a difference in the world, to really connect back up in a global consciousness, which I guess can be seen psychically as like a grid or a network of light going across the globe.
From your experience, Sorita, when you tap into someone's energy field, for information field, for lack of a better term, and you see that aqua, those aqua bands or however you perceive them, and you know that there's some latent abilities and capabilities within this person, what seems in your experience to be some of the things that create a blockage, if you will, that may be at least temporarily preventing an individual from accessing or realizing their full potential?
Yeah, and it's funny because like as we do talk about it in a session, a lot of the time we'll get confirmation, and that's where people get surprised that they're like, oh, how did you know about that? Or how can you see that? And it really is, you know, working as a psychic and a clairvoyant, it really is always me having to trust the information that I'm seeing, not to second guess myself. And as crazy and as out there and it can be at times, it really is just saying the first thing that you see, the first thing that you hear and feel. And the more that we tune in and get on target, the more excited the guides get as well. So they'll get like really excited and happy that, you know, we're talking about something that they're trying to also shine light on in the aura as well. And then it's also looking at, you know, on a human physical level, because that's information that's possibly, you know, coming through from a multidimensional life, because sometimes we'll have these same abilities and talents that we're also working with in other multidimensional lifetimes that are happening possibly in parallel universes, or, you know, like if we look into like superstring theory, you know, that kind of thing. So it really is looking at, okay, is there a way to tap into this other multidimensional life so that I can learn more information from that? Or can I stream some of that energy in from that lifetime? You can also do exchange as well. So sometimes there might be something that another aspect or another multidimensional part of you is learning from yourself on this earth life as well. You know, in terms of looking at the earth school and like what we're going through here, like looking at politics, looking at, you know, the environmental stuff that's happening, even though it's negative type things that a lot of us, especially starseeds, wish that we can change, that has so much to teach, you know, other places so that they don't have to go through that as well. So there is an exchange on both levels that happens.
That's a very good point, Sylvita, because oftentimes myself, colleagues, and people in our networks, we talk about these very subjects where we have the oversoul, for lack of a better term, and then you have these different aspects of yourself in parallel incarnations. And we talk about how we can sometimes piggyback or look through the eyes of our counterparts and this, that, or the other reality. But sometimes we don't think that the other way around could happen. Like they can tap into our reality and kind of learn and see what we're going through. Because, like, for example, in some of these alternate realities, and let me know what your thoughts on this are, it seems that some of them are maybe a little further down the track, if you will, in a timeline sense, in a technology sense, in a spiritual progress sense compared to we are, maybe a little further back depending on what reality, but because there's all this interconnection in a multidimensional sense, there's a lot of free flow at times depending on if, you know, one can tap into that, and there's a lot of learning to be had if we're open to that also.
Yeah, definitely. And I love that you're into this topic as well, because it's one that really excites me and I don't always get to talk about. So say for like looking into like the positives of this earth reality, one of them would be physical touch. Not all realities that we live in have physical touch. And I think that's such an important extra sense that we have here on the 3D physical reality. And, you know, looking at love and looking at, you know, extensions of love and how we can physically nurture. But then we also have the flip side of that, as, you know, we experience pain and different things as well. But it really, there's so much information to be gathered and learnt from those lives. And I know that some of the beings that aren't living in this reality and some spirits that pass on, you know, quite often they might stay around a little bit longer because they're not ready to shift from that physical reality, because it is quite special to the earth school, this 3D reality. Not saying that we don't have that in other places, but it is part of our special thing that we have here on earth.
That's a very good point, Sylvita, and I talk about this a lot, the importance of remaining embodied. It's important on the one hand to recognize that we do have this multidimensional aspect to us where literally we can reach out in every direction, if you will. But the fact that we're in embodiment, I mean, we're here in embodiment for a reason, to feel, to touch, to have these sensate things go on around us and interact with our surroundings in such a way. And it is unique to us. You know, we talk about the importance of hugging and how endorphins are released. And it turns out that when people hug trees, you know, the old jokes about the tree huggers, there's a mutually beneficial symbiotic aspect to that, where the tree benefits, the person benefits, right? Because it's an energy flow, a mutually beneficial one.
And isn't that amazing that they can measure that as well?
Yeah.
I find that fascinating. And I think, you know, talking about the psychic senses that we were talking about before being an extension of the, like, the physical sense, I also look at, you know, like tantric type work and energy that's connected, you know, like with couples or with people that are, you know, really have some kind of chemistry going on some level. And if we can look at like the basis of like that human love and physical touch, but what if we can upgrade that and take that to another level and really connect those energies? We can work with the chakras of both the energy fields to create, you know, a whole nother field or a whole nother energy dynamic when you connect those two energy fields together as well and really achieve and connect to much higher levels.
You know, some of the stuff that we're talking about, a lot of it is deeply personal And, you know, being a Scorpio dragon, there's always that aspect of me, you know, some stuff, keep it close to the vest, security, security, security. But just whatever you feel comfortable sharing, I'd be interested in knowing, because you've got the ability to see into the inner planes. Have you had occasion to interact with a counterpart, if you will, whether it was an ET aspect of yourself, whether it was, a past life aspect of yourself? A recent guest of mine talked about how she basically had this mystical vision where she saw herself in, you know, from the 1930s, and they kind of looked at each other and had that moment. You know, has anything like that happened to you?
Yeah, definitely. So some of the things that I get, I guess it would be classified as some kind of deja vu. So I'll have, like, on a physical earth level, how we talked about, like, oversouls before and, you know, multidimensional lives, I'll have where I'll go back to a point within childhood or to, like, a physical location on the earth where it'll feel like an energy portal. And I'll have, like, this moment in this lifetime, in this timeline, where all of a sudden it's like I'll just get this clear vision and image, and it feels like a direct correlation to that time. So, like, one example is I think I was maybe age 15. So, you know, being in this timeline of being 38 years old, I had almost like, I'm trying to think of how to describe it. We don't always have the language in English to be able to describe things. It's really difficult sometimes. So almost like a direct telepathic correlation, or where, like, my portal opens at 38 and then the portal of 15-year-old me opens, and there's this direct energy match or awareness and perception of each other in space and time. So I remember back to being 15 years old, standing on a pier at the beach in Perth, and then having this awareness of almost like looking around going, I felt like this before, or there's something different within this energy and this space. And then the 38-year-old part of me is having this vision and this awareness of the energy of that 15-year-old self. So that's like one experience. I guess we would also call it like a glitch in the matrix.
Yes.
But then there is the other glitches that are, you know, this, you know, version of myself in the here and now, then having, you know, the other glitches with the multidimensional aspects. And I think, you know, when we go to sleep at night, sometimes it's connecting with those ET counterparts of ourselves, or it might be, you know, connecting with other multidimensional aspects or meeting with guides and different things as well.
Some of my experiences deal with precognitive dreams. I've had countless precognitive dreams. And when we have these, Sarita, it really makes you wonder, like, time, it's not all it's cracked up to be, because if you can go to sleep and you dream, and then a day, a week, a month, years down the track, you experience exactly what you dreamed and know that you've dreamt it. And what's even weirder sometimes, so rare, is if, say, I have a precognitive dream of doing something a week ago, but somebody else could have the same or similar dream involving me, the exact same scenario, but he or she could have it a month, 2 months, 3 years down the track. And then we meet each other, even though that the time in the linear sense is completely out of whack. At some level, we met in this dream pool, this timeless kind of realm. And it just really makes you wonder, you know, what's up with this time aspect? And have you given thought to how we, as beings in physical embodiment, how we can tap into that timelessness of ourselves? Because that deals with all this multidimensionalness, if that's a world, and, you know, the timeless factor.
Yeah, and that's something that's really shifted and changed in the last, not only 10 years have I seen a shift in that, but even in the last 2 years, there's been a big shift to do with, like, our time and our reality. And the way that I see it is time is sort of like a veil. So it kind of like softens things and dulls things down. It's like looking at life behind a big, heavy, thick curtain or a big, heavy, thick veil. And what I'm seeing with that is even like normal, sort of like everyday people that maybe don't believe in any of this stuff are talking about, hey, time's speeding up, or like, I can't believe how fast the year's gone. Even kids, which run on a you know, like when we're a child, we run on a different time reality. We don't have that same perception of awareness like an adult would have of time. And even I'm noticing, like with my own kids and with other kids, is they're talking about time going so fast.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember back to being a kid yourself, but I remember, you know, school would really drag on. The year would drag on. It seemed to take forever to get from like 7 to 10 years old. Whereas like kids now, like, wow, I can't believe how fast time has gone. And that's what I'm seeing is like some of those veils that we have in the 3D world have really started to lift. So like our physical reality is changing and we are getting more of a multidimensional awareness. And I think we are meeting people that are more connected to our soul path, more connected to our spiritual development. Like we're learning the lessons a lot quicker possibly than what we have in the past. And we're not having to play out the same karmic patterns for a lifetime. We're having possibly, you know, a few in one lifetime.
There's talk also about not only are we familiar with concepts such as parallel timelines and alternate realities, but the notion that, and I think there's something to this, Loretta, I'd like your thoughts on it, that there at some points an intersection, an intermingling, emerging, if you will, at times, no pun intended, of these different parallel time streams that are running in parallel with each other. And some people talk about the Mandela effect. In my own personal life, I'm going to be 55 years old, and I can look back, and it seems like some aspects of history have kind of changed around a little bit. I don't know if it's some big hoax where everyone's or someone is, you know, doing all this stuff to fool people like me, but it seems like certain aspects of historical events have kind of changed. Subtly or not so subtly, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Do you see any kind of an intermingling, if you will, emerging at times?
Yeah, definitely. And I've experienced the Mandela effect as well. You know, thinking that certain celebrities have died and then finding out, oh no, they've only now just died. I'm like, I'm sure they've passed, you know, 5 years ago. And like, you know, having definite memories about that, or, you know, different books. People talk about, you know, different books having different titles, different movies having different endings, you know, things like that. I think on some level, there's possible things being played around with our times, our timelines.
Yes, definitely.
Definitely different technologies being used that are, you know, we're at a different level of consciousness. So perhaps in the past, we might not have noticed that there was a difference within our reality, or the reality had possibly been altered or changed. But I think we're all coming to a different perceptional awareness. And I think this is something that I'm seeing just continue to grow, and somewhere that, you know, I guess on our 3D earth projected timeline, is that we are still spiritually advancing and spiritually progressing. And the more that we realize this, the more that we're then able to shift our own timelines and shift our own realities too. So it's not just participating in these events and things that are happening. This is also, if we look at it as sort of more of an inflection, or like to look at how we can use this in our life, we can also create those time shifts and changes within ourselves. So some people will talk about it, you know, pulling a feeling in. So for me, like I've just met someone who's really lovely. So I got a new, have a new partner. And part of like what I shifted within my reality, I think it was maybe 2 days before I met him, I started to download and work with like mentally a new template for relationships and a new template for how I want it to feel in love and in a partnership and in relation with someone. And it was funny, I put, put an app on my phone. Never thought I would do like the whole dating app thing.
Yeah.
And 2 days later, meet, you know, someone, my first date that I go on the date with. But it was, so there was shifting that template, putting out how I want it to feel, embodying that and feeling as though that's already happening. And then I had to take the physical action of actually putting it out there into the 3D. So that was actually installing the app on my phone, you know, writing the profile, that sort of thing. So we are able to make changes and shift in our realities. And the implications that can come with that when you're really put out like what it is and get so specific and so clear on what it is that you're looking for, it is phenomenal. Like the level of change that we can create within our lives.
we absolutely can. Because what I'm starting to notice, Alita, with certain people that have this multidimensional sensibility, let's say, is, and Greg Braden talks about this in his own way with the Divine Matrix,
mm-hmm.
when the intentions are backed by a very strong, positive, upbeat, emotional drive, and as you know, the heart is a powerful electromagnetic dynamo. I mean, the energy emissions from our hearts just extend so far out, not just in the physical space, but as you know, in a multidimensional sense. So when we can focus our intent and we divest ourselves of as much clutter, as much shame-basedness, if that's a word, and work through all of our inner shadow issues and do as much healing and reintegration as possible, we can see, if we pay attention in myriad different ways, how we do actually create these momentary bubbles of creation, of abundance, of manifestation. And to the point where when the intent is right, and in a positive sense, or in a circumstance where, say, there's an element of danger involved, with just the right amount of intent and the emotional drive behind it, people can avert accidents, they can change things around, they can save themselves from a lot of grief. So, Retta, have you started to notice that in your life and in the lives of some of your clients?
Yeah, definitely. And it's really interesting because when you look into like certain, I guess, pathways that you can step into. So we always have choice. We always have free will here on Earth. And it's really interesting in, you know, if I go back to readings that I was doing 10 years ago or even further, 20 years ago, as I started doing readings probably around age 15. So quite a long time now, more just starting out with friends and things, but really using the psychic gifts. We tended to have more of like a karma that we were living out, or more that, you know, like for a soul growth, you know, this kind of needed to take place for this soul lesson to happen. Whereas now we're evolution, like the evolutionary stage that we're at, we're more able to have free will and we're more able to consciously choose and pick. So like, as you were saying, you know, about doing the shadow work and cleaning things out, I think that's super important. And I know that a lot of people are really working on that right now, which is going to enable us to be able to have more of that like advanced growth that our souls are really craving. And I think this is part of that homesickness that a lot of people feel as well. So we're doing the work a lot faster than what we would have, say, 10, 20 years ago.
Yes, and it jibes with what we spoke about earlier, what Art Bell talks about, the quickening, how things seem to be speeding up, time seems to be speeding up. And I do remember those days as a child, Solrita, where like the days seem to last forever. I mean, you'd be out there playing and then it's nighttime and you're still playing and that's just one day, right? Mm-hmm. And then now it's like the days, weeks, and months just blur by. And I think it's symptomatic of this quickening process. Now,
definitely.
In the recent past, tell me what you feel about the current energy fluxes that we're feeling. Because just in the last 48 hours, 72 hours, a lot of people reported, lack of a better term, kind of a heaviness, kind of the energy's amped up. So it's affecting people in different ways. It's making some people, I wouldn't say lethargic, but very sleepy, tired. Other people, it's bringing about kind of a mental fugue state. Other people that are more grounded and more embodied, they're handling it better. What are you feeling, and what's your advice to people going through an energetic period such as we're going through right now?
Yeah, and something you were just saying about, you know, being a child and remembering the time going a lot slower as well, is that I remember when I used to, because you can consciously put yourself between dimensions or take yourself to like a universal void type place. And I remember doing those projections consciously when I was, around 4 or 5 years old. And to do that and to allow yourself to go into that energetic space, it felt so heavy and thick, the energy of it, in terms of like to get your energy from this physical 3D reality to go within that space. It was quite energetically bombarding, in the sense of there was probably such a difference in vibration to do with, you know, going from physical into non-physical. Whereas like where we're at now energetically, our energies are I guess, like a little bit more refined, and we're able to pick up on information a lot easier. There's not such a divide between the dimensions and between the reality. So I think that's where it is important to do the shadow work and to also remain grounded, because we can get distracted and bombarded by all of the energies that are going on, and the solar flares and the planetary alignments and things. We really tend to be very affected by a lot of these planetary alignments. Even, I guess, my friends and I would refer to like the normal everyday people more as muggles, you know, for lack of a better word, the Harry Potter term for non-magicals. And even non-muggles are like, what is happening? And then you might mention, oh, it's Mercury retrograde, which, mucks with computers. There's, blasts from the past, people coming back that they may not have seen for 10, 15 years. Different, karmic things coming up. And even like the muggles are recognizing that, something is different.
Yes.
That's a big indicator for change when the muggles are waking up too.
In the time we've got left in this segment, Sylrita, tell us a bit about how you take your clients through the process. Because Kylie, my wife, had a reading with you, and she said that you were spot on in so many things. You knew things about her life, her multidimensional mystical life as well, let's say, that you couldn't possibly have known with the normal senses. So you were able to tap in at a very deep level. And while we're at it, please give your website to our listeners too.
Yeah, sure. So just to find my website, it's www.sorita.com. So S-O-L-R-E-T-A. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. I do a lot of posting on both those places. It was beautiful reading for Kylie. That was quite a few years ago now. And a lot of the time when I am working with clients, it's like so in that space and in that moment, it's like a portal opens up and I receive the information, working with not only looking at the aura and the energy of the person, but also working with what the guides are saying. And then we'll also do tarot cards as well. So with the tarot cards, I use them with psychometry, which is where I tune in with the energy of the card face down, and I'm listening to the information from the guides, and I'm looking at the aura and picking up all different psychic information, whether it's like physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and looking at like where the placement is on the body. So I'm receiving, I guess you would call it like a download or a streaming of all of this data coming in. And all my job is to relay that data and information. So for me, seeing different colors is a whole nother language. So like, how we're speaking now, we're speaking English. Color to me is a whole language in itself. And I feel it spoken to me, not just like telepathically and with words and things. So I guess I work as a translator to translate spirit into this physical reality so that it can help people. I don't always remember like what I say after coming out of the session. So sometimes people will say, it was so amazing that session I had with you, and this happened and this happened. Remember, like, you told me about this. And quite often I don't always remember, because it's, working with spirit in that moment. You're so psychically attuned that it's like I go into two brains. So there's like the earth brain, and then there's more the spiritual brain, or more like the creative, faculties are more in use when I'm working with spirit. I feel like I'm working in a very ADD space. So psychically, I feel like that everything's like, ultra attuned and sensitive, and I'm picking up on multiple streams of information at that one time. So I guess that's like a little bit about how I work. But working with the psychometry, with getting the information with the cards, what's so interesting is that you'll feel the different energies coming off the cards, and the guides will describe the cards to me in terms of, okay, so we're working with this card represents past, this represents present, this represents future. And it might be on one particular topic, or it might be on a career or relationship. And whenever they've finished like with the cards, they're like, all right, you can flip the card over now. So the guides will tell me, they'll keep talking until we've got as much information. Sometimes they might even spend, 20 minutes talking on one particular card. If it's really, really relevant, we'll get past like information come up in relation to what's happening in the here and now on this earth plane. You know, there might be other people coming that are connected with it. There might be new talents or skills or gifts that they're encouraging the person to work with or study. And when they say that we're, you know, done working with the card and we can flip it over, I would say 99% of the time, whatever is on the card is exactly what the guides have talked to us about. And they say to me, it's still important to use the cards because for our human brains and our human consciousness to have that confirmation of the information that the guides are relaying, we need that kind of confirmation still. We're at the point where we can just sort of take things on like a word value. It's good to have that physical sight of, oh my God, yes, there's that symbol, that, you know, picture that they were talking about, and you see that exact symbol on the cards.
It brings it down concretely. It brings it down into 3D. Right?
It definitely does.
And real quickly before the segment is over, one of the things I've heard from certain psychics and intuitives is sometimes they have a problem putting up, lack of a better term, the adequate shields, defense mechanisms, prevent themselves from being drained too much, because there's an energetic aspect to this. It's a lot of work involved, folks, a lot of energetic work. And how does an intuitive, how does a psychic keep from being depleted? How do they keep, because what happens sometimes, you know, Selrita, if there's holes in the auric field, and then maybe down the track, they may start having physical maladies. It goes from the energetic body, and then it goes to the physical body. And that, you know, could be a happy hunting ground for some of the, you know, these less than pleasant beings also. You know what I mean? So how does a psychic keep themselves from getting depleted, getting drained, and, you know, keeping their integrity energetically and physically?
Yeah. So for me, I think because I've worked with this sort of energy from such a young age, it feels more like second nature. So I definitely will put up like a, I guess, like a field, not even consciously so much anymore. It's just, it seems to be something that I've kind of set, or, you know, have that intention in my aura to be in that protective space, and definitely protective space around the client that I'm working with too. For me, having looked into different types of avenues of readings and, you know, different psychic modalities and things. When I was a little bit younger, I'd looked into mediumship and done like a bit of mediumship work and a bit of like platform work. So mediumship is more a term of connecting to spirits that have passed on. For me, I think I did, it was a weekend workshop on it with a really famous medium here in Melbourne, Australia, who actually won the TV show, The One, who just is incredible as a medium. And it was funny. So I did his class, and at the end of the 2 days, I got invited to go do like an advanced class, which was invitation only. And for me, it just didn't feel right. I'm like, I feel so tired after doing this kind of work. And I think what it was is that tuning into the energy of spirits that had passed on, for me, it felt like it really brought my energy down. I was so fatigued and tired. It would take me like days to get over working with that sort of energy. But there is people that work with that and they don't get as tired, or
due to circumstances beyond our control, the internet was knocked down during this interview with Selrita Antaria, and we had to reschedule for the part two members segment at a later time and date. My apologies for this. It was equal parts interference as well as a storm brewing up at just the wrong time, which knocked our internet offline. Again, my apologies.